Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The city of Sitka took steps on Tuesday night to prevent a downtown bar from renewing its liquor license. The assembly voted to protest the license at Victoria's Poorhouse. The Lincoln Street Bar is part of the Sitka Hotel. And the two establishments owe the city nearly $90,000 in unpaid sales and bed taxes. Shane Snyder runs the business. He says the decline of Sitka's tourism industry has hurt the hotel and bar.
This is the debt that I totally plan on paying. I want to work it out. Mr. Sweeney's been great working with me. Unfortunately, this time of year, right before tourist season, I don't have a lot of money to mm-hmm. put down on it. If I had more, I would. But we are really close to that next step.
State law allows local governments to challenge a liquor license if the holder of that license owes more than $200 in back taxes. On Tuesday, assembly members said they didn't want to lodge the protest, but had to hold businesses accountable for turning in the tax money they collect from customers. Here's Mayor Mim McConnell.
This is tough. It's an institution on Lincoln Street, and we've already seen so many places close up. And I just hate to see another one close. And I'm afraid of pushing you back into a corner and making that happen, Mr. Snyder. And I don't want to see that happen. But we also need to stand firm about the situation.
Assembly members said they would happily withdraw the protest if Victoria's Poorhouse can reach a deal for repayment with the city. And even if the assembly's protest remains in place, Snyder has 60 days to file his response, and the state's Alcohol Beverage Control Board then has a series of steps it takes before making a final determination. An amendment by Mike Reif would make the protest official on April 19th, which he said gives Snyder and Victoria's Poorhouse an extra 10 days to respond. The assembly voted 6-1 to file the protest, with only Tor Christensen voting against it. The Sitka Hotel closed its doors for the winter, but plans to reopen next month. Victoria's Poorhouse can continue to do business while the fate of its liquor license is still up in the air. The leader of the Catholic Diocese of Juneau wants to talk to you. Bishop Edward Burns is in Sitka this week on what's called a pastoral visit. Most of his time will be spent meeting with local Roman Catholics, but tonight he's holding a public forum at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Bishop Burns sat down for an interview with KCAW's Ed Ronco.
Sunday Mass at St. Gregory Catholic Church in Sitka. The church's pastor, Father Jim Blaney, is passing out communion to parishioners standing in a long line down one side of the church's center aisle. On the other side, Bishop Edward Burns, leader of the nation's smallest Roman Catholic diocese. The Diocese of Juneau is home to about 10,000 Catholics and 15 parishes. Celebrating Mass will bookend Burns' trip. In between, a busy, busy schedule.
I've had a chance to meet with the superintendent of schools, the chief of police. I meet with the mayor tomorrow to let them know that in their role as public servants and in all that they do for our community, that we're partners. And whatever we can do to assist for the common good of this community, we'd be more than happy to help.
You're reaching out beyond the community of Catholics in Sitka to the general public. Why?
Well, because the Catholic community here in Sitka, the parish of St. Gregory's, is a part of the larger community. And being a part of the larger community, it's important for us to have an interest in the community. It's important that this community thrive. It's important that the community continues to better itself.
What are you anticipating the conversation is going to be like?
I can't predict what kind of a conversation will arise because I can't predict the questions. But I think that the very fact that I want to be present to them is an indication that I am so open to receiving their questions.
I guess what I'm asking is, are you expecting people to say, you know, oh, hi, I'm ready for your PowerPoint presentation? Or are you expecting people to go up and say, you know what I've always wondered, Bishop? I've always wondered why the meat on Fridays thing went away. Or, you know, I mean, what are you hoping that the community gets or gives out of this?
Yeah, it's really just a public forum to ask some questions about the Catholic Church. And it's an opportunity for us to be present to the members of this community. So I really can't predict what type of questions will rise, but it will be an opportunity for me to introduce myself, to introduce you know, some very basic tenets of the Catholic Church, a little bit of background about the Catholic Church in Southeast Alaska and in the nation and throughout the world. I think that it's absolutely exciting that we have had the election of Pope Francis, who has been seen on the national news a fair amount. And I think people, both Catholic and non-Catholic, are captivated by, you know, his great humble style. I think about the fact that I read on the news that he has now decided not to live in the papal palace. And he's going to live in a small suite of rooms in the apartment building that housed the cardinals during the conclave. And I'm thinking to myself, now the Holy Father is only going to live in a couple of rooms in this apartment building. Well, now, I'm the bishop of the smallest diocese in the country, and I have more rooms in my house than the Pope. So it's I find it of great wonder and of course, great beauty. With his humility. And I think that essentially in the church, that's a message we want to get out, because it's not about us, but rather it's about the way in which we serve others.
Does the church dialogue enough with its people as an institution in general?
We have a lot more to do in the way in which we dialogue with people. Today is a new day in communication. It seems as though you have to speak in sound bites. The attention span sometimes is a little, you know, smaller than what it used to be. You look at the Diocese of Juneau, and we have ourselves a website where we get our information out. We now use video clips in order to get some of our presentations out on the web. Also tweet. I have a Twitter account, you know, and it's amazing. I have, I think, over 1,400 followers, and they're from all over the world. And the Diocese of Juneau has a Facebook page. So it's all those things the apostles would never have thought of, but it's at our fingertips today, and it's yet another way to get the gospel message out.
At Mass on Sunday, Burns talked about Thomas, the apostle who doubted Jesus had risen from the dead. Burns says Wednesday's public forum is not about convincing those who have their doubts to adhere to a particular faith, or even to believe what Catholics believe. He says he just wants to talk, to put his face with his name, and to learn what people in Sitka have to say about the church he grew up in and now helps lead. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Burns will meet with the public and take questions tonight at 7 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Whooping cough is on the rise in Alaska. It's been moving up the coast from California and in March caused the death of an infant in Anchorage. KCAW's Ann Bryce explains how to avoid catching the highly contagious bacterial infection.
Get immunized.
Those are words from Ellen Daly, a nurse who works at the Public Health Center in Sitka. She says whooping cough is quickly spreading through Alaska and that babies and small children are the most vulnerable to the bacteria. Whooping cough, or pertussis, might resemble a common cold at first, with a sniffle and a cough. But if the cough sticks around for longer than 7 days and progresses to violent fits of hacking that sound like It's a good sign it's pertussis, especially if the coughing ends in vomiting. The highest rates of infection are in places where groups of kids congregate, like schools and daycare centers. The good news is it's easy to protect against. Infants as young as 2 months old can be immunized, and it's a part of the regular series of vaccinations that all kids receive. Daly says adults who are around kids should also be immunized. Daly says first, you should go to your healthcare provider for your shots. But if you can't, because you're uninsured or underinsured, you can visit the public health center and receive a vaccination.
We are here to serve those who can't get the service anywhere else. You know, somebody that doesn't have Medicare, they're not employed, they don't have money to go to a doctor.
She says everyone can receive an immunization to pertussis if they want one. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
You can find more information about pertussis and how to get in touch with the Public Health Care Center in Sitka on our website, kcaw.org. The American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska is seeking public records after state vehicles were used to block anti-abortion protesters at the state capitol. Governor Sean Parnell's office issued a statement last week saying the court system had asked the Department of Administration to park state vehicles in front of the protesters, some holding graphic posters, on April 2nd. The vehicles were moved after 45 minutes, and Parnell told the department to investigate and make sure it doesn't happen again. Parnell called the actions of those involved as totally inappropriate. The ACLU says in a release it's seeking all state records of those involved in the blockade and of state policies that led state workers to block the protesters. The state has 10 days to respond to the open records request. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org. In Sitka, it's currently 35 degrees, overcast skies. Expect snow showers today, mixed with rain at times in the afternoon.